Sports Talk Chicago with Joey Christopoulos is brought to you by...
Injured in an accident? That's no game. But you can bet those insurance companies are going to play dirty to keep that cash from you. What you need is a most valuable player on your team. MVP Injury Law has been bringing home the gold for their clients for over 30 years. No win, no fee. MVPinjurylaw.com. We'll get you the gold.
312-883-9500-MVP.
MVPinjurylaw.com. We'll get you the gold.
Welcome to Sports Talk Chicago. And now, with your host, Joey Christopoulos.
I'm making my picks for the Chicago White Sox and Chicago Cubs 21st century all-time teams coming up next on WLS AM 890. Welcome, everyone, into this week's show. I hope you're having a wonderful weekend. Happy Saturday, Chicago. Thank you so much for tuning in to WLS AM 890. Hopefully, the weather's going to be turning around, and we're finally going to do this thing that, I don't know, we like to call summer. On this week's episode, I am going to be doing my 21st century, the quarter century all-time teams for the White Sox and the Chicago Cubs. But first, I want to kick it off with the right here and the right now, and I want to talk about the Chicago Cubs. As of this taping on Thursday, they have a day off. They're preparing for a weekend series. Chicago Cubs in first place just swept the Colorado Rockies. So I just want to play a quick game of either or with you. Give you something to kind of think about, because as we turn the calendar over to June, this is still a critical month for the Chicago Cubs. Now I get it, when July comes around and the trade deadline, all we're going to talk about what they're going to do to fortify and add to this team. But as each day presses on, and I know the schedule has been really, really favorable over the last 3 weeks, as each day presses on, this Chicago Cubs team continues to prove that it is for real, that it has staying power, and possibly, just possibly, can make some serious noise in October. So as we're looking into the month of June, I want to ask you an either or. Now, it would be great if we could get both of these things. It would be awesome if all these things came true. But if you had to pick door number one or door number two, which door would you want to open more when it comes to these three either-ors? Our first either-or category is, would you rather have the Chicago Cubs catchers, the collection of catchers, keep up their current offensive production pace? Or would you rather have PCA, Pico Armstrong, continue his quest to make himself a serious contender in the MVP conversation? This isn't as easy as you think. I get it. Pico Armstrong, clearly a fan favorite. Homered again on Wednesday. Who knows what he's doing here on Friday and Saturday, because this is a pre-tape. But this guy has been absolutely incredible. An easy way to break it down is that if you just look at his production over 123 games last year compared to the 56 that he's played this year, he has already surpassed his offensive production. He looks like a completely different player. He is maturing in front of our eyes, and he is becoming a superstar. And yes, as of right now, June 1st, heading into the month, he is in the MVP conversation. He is one of the top, if not at the top, players in WAR. He is at the top, if not the top, sorry, Seiya Suzuki, who they continue to go back and forth on. He's right there in the mix for the RBI lead. And oh yeah, he's hitting double-digit home runs, stealing double-digit bases, complete chaos on the base paths, and also playing gold glove caliber defense in center field. Superstar in the making. So here are the numbers for Pico Armstrong from last year to this year. Last year, he played 123 games. This year, he's played only 56. Last year, 372 at-bats. This year, 222 at-bats. So 150 at-bats less already than what he had last year. 70 less games played. Last year, he scored 46 runs. He's already at 43 runs scored. Last year, he had 6 triples. This year, he's already at 3. Last year, he had 13 doubles. This year, already, through only 56 games, he already has 13 doubles. He's already matched that mark. Last year, he hit 10 home runs. This year, he's already at 15. And last year, he drove in 47 runs across 123 games and he is already at 50 RBIs with 56 games through. You don't need to do the math that right now PCA currently is on pace for over 120 runs batted in. Do I see that come into true fruition? I don't know about that, but he is almost, health provided, a lock to get to 100 RBIs. Impressive stuff. Last year's slash line, 237, 286 on base percentage with a 384 slug. A 670 OPS total. Right now, 275 batting average, 303 on base percentage, 563 slugging percentage with an 875 OPS. His OPS right now is 200 points better than what it was last year. Last year, he put up 2.3 in WAR, which is still a very solid player. Didn't hit very well, but that defense and that speed made up for a lot of it. 2.3 WAR. He's already at 2.9 on the cusp of being a 3 WAR player, only a third of the way through the season. For reference, the 7-8-9 mark, the 8-9-10 mark of WAR, that's Ohtani, that's Judge, that's Babe Ruth, that's Mike Trout, it's Mookie Betts, it's some of the best stars in the game. And then finally, OPS Plus was 88 last year. Right now, it's sitting at 145. He's almost doubled that. So do you need PCA to continue at that specific pace to stay in the MVP conversation, or would you rather open up door number two? Door number two is that the Chicago Cubs catching position, again, much like PCA, is night and day from what we experienced last year. Last year, it was a rough go. They brought Yan Gomes back. Unfortunately, you know, time comes for us all, especially in our professional careers playing professional sports. Yan Gomes, who had a good solid year 2 years ago, just didn't have it anymore. Miguel Amaya struggled mightily most of the season, was able to turn it on, play a little bit better into August and September, and he's been able to carry it over to this year. Now, keep in mind with Miguel Amaya right now, he is dealing with an oblique injury, much like several Cubs this season. There's some sort of strain of obliques going throughout the Cubs locker room right now. They need to tamp that down as best they can. He's probably going to miss 4 to 6 weeks, a.k.a. I probably would not anticipate seeing Miguel Amaya until after July. So they're already going to be down one of these guys. And just when you look at the production that they've gotten from the catching position this year, it may ask yourself the question, we may need that a little bit more than we need PCA to stay in the MVP race. Between Miguel Amaya, Carson Kelly, and now most recently Reese McGuire, who hit 2 home runs in his first game call-up just last weekend, they're combining for 15 home runs and 51 RBIs. The batting average is in the high 280s. The catching position is providing almost identical, just power number offensive production that Pete Crow Armstrong is, that Seiya Suzuki is. It's just taking 3 guys to accumulate that number. But guess what? You have to play a catcher every single day. So that's an either or I'm throwing out to you there. And if you're watching on YouTube, toss it down in the comments. What would you rather have for sustained success for the Chicago Cubs moving forward? Is it the Cubs catchers continue their offensive production, or PCA stay in that MVP race? The other one, and again, we're going to be talking about this one for the next 2 months here on Sports Talk Chicago, so buckle up. Not going to dive too deep into it right now, but the either or, door number one, door number two, would you rather have, Cubs fan, an elite Cubs starter acquired at the deadline, or an elite Cubs closer to add to that bullpen? I will tell you right now, as it stands, in my opinion, it is going to be easier for the Cubs to acquire that closer than it is going to be to acquire that top-end starter. If you want a middle-of-the-road starter, there will be guys available. There's several pitchers having good years right now that I don't think are amazing lockdown aces in the playoffs in October, but you could definitely get them, acquire them, maybe not spend a ton, and make yourself a little bit better. But my question is, and this is door number one, door number two, elite starter or elite closer? If you want the middle of the road, there's plenty of guys. There's Minnesota Twins pitcher Joe Ryan. He's having a great season. He's been solid for several years. He's got good money, good controllable years left. He is definitely a contact type pitcher. He doesn't strike out a ton of guys. He could pitch well. He could probably help you definitely get to the playoffs. But if you put him into a playoff rotation, would he be a difference maker? I have some of my doubts. Chris Bassett, a little bit older in the tooth, pitching well in Toronto. Could he be a guy? Yes, again, middle of the road. I've heard some people throw out Sonny Gray from the Cardinals. Good luck with that. I think you're going to have to pay the Cardinal tax just to get him in the door. There's plenty of these middle of the road guys that they could go out and try and target and acquire. The problem is baseball has an interesting situation going on right now. The first one is that there are, when the teams are bad in Major League Baseball, a.k.a. the Marlins, the Pirates, the White Sox, yes, the White Sox, and the Colorado Rockies, when they're bad, they are absolutely terrible. But everybody else, heading into June, is still kind of in it. When you add that extra wild card, it keeps a lot of these teams in the race, which then, therefore, makes trading for an elite starter at the deadline really difficult. There's been a lot of people that have thrown out a couple of rumors. Most recently, ESPN 1000's David Kaplan said, why don't the Chicago Cubs try and target Texas Rangers ace Jacob DeGrom? Or Atlanta Braves ace, former Chicago White Sox ace Chris Sale? On its face right now, I will tell you, Cubs fans, that if they were able to acquire DeGrom or Chris Sale, it would make the Chicago Cubs, if not the odds-on favorite to win the pennant, it would get them damn close to competing with the Los Angeles Dodgers and the Philadelphia Phillies and the New York Mets. The problem with that is it's fun to talk about. Don't get me wrong. The problem with it is those teams, even though they might not be living up to expectation right now, what does that look like at the trade deadline? The Atlanta Braves right now, as it stands, are an under 500 team. They're 9.5 games back of first place. That's a lot to overcome. But again, Ronald Acuña Jr. is now healthy for them. They just got back Spencer Strider. And I think they're going to play it out for a while. And even if they keep that record, even if they're still 9.5 games back of the wild card, you can't tell me, 9.5 games back of the division. If they're only 5 games back of the wild card, they are not moving Chris Sale. It isn't happening. And as it stands right now, with their disappointing season, with their unmet expectations, they're only about 5 games out of the wild card right now. The same can be said for the Texas Rangers. The only difference with this is, I think Jacob DeGrom is more likely of a fantasy candidate than Chris Sale is, and here's why. One, Texas Rangers, again, struggling a little bit. Corey Seager is hurt. Marcus Semien's having a down year. Jacob DeGrom has been pitching great. If you're the Texas Rangers, when you gave Jacob DeGrom that huge money 2 years ago, and he is just now pitching for you and healthy, are you maybe asking yourself, am I finally getting the return on my dollar? Or am I finally getting some sort of return that would turn into a return on investment by getting out of the Jacob DeGrom business now while he is healthy and not rolling the dice any further that he'll stay healthy throughout the remainder of his contract? That contract, by the way, extends through this year and into next year at, I believe, $38 million. It'd come with a price tag. And Jacob DeGrom, that price tag would also cost prospects as well. But those elite starters, those are probably the only two that I truly see out there right now that the Chicago Cubs could get that would turn into difference makers. Can some things change? Yes. I mentioned Chris Bassett on Toronto. I think Kevin Gausman on Toronto is an interesting case. I think Robbie Ray is having a fantastic season for the San Francisco Giants. They're playing great right now. They would have to bottom out to even get into the seller's market of a trade deadline. So door number one for the elite starter, even if you want it, I'm telling you it's hard to pull off. I think the easier one to pull off is probably that Cubs closer. The one, now, granted, he's been shut down now for about 4 or 5 days. You're going to have to monitor it. But Kyle Finnegan on the Washington Nationals, a guy who the Chicago Cubs actually could have signed in the offseason, probably wanted a decent amount of money, came back to the Washington Nationals at about $7 million, was having a fantastic season up until being shut down the last 4 or 5 days. We're going to have to monitor that situation. But he is a guy that you could easily go out and get. And even if you like Daniel Palencia, who, by the way, if you're not watching, Cubs fans, Daniel Palencia, as of right now, he's got the control under control, and he's pumping 101 miles an hour. He profiles as a closer. He just hasn't done it for a long stretch of time. He only has 4 saves under his belt, has never been in that situation before. It's good now, but do you really want to believe in that in October? Ryan Pressly has been pitching better. I believe he's at 7 appearances now without giving up a run. I got to tell you right now, definitively, Ryan Pressly cannot be the closer for the Chicago Cubs the remainder of the year. If you want to see him pick up one or two here and there, that's totally fine. I think he's blown his opportunity to be the closer for the Cubs in 2025. This team is too good to roll the dice on a guy whose stuff is just, frankly, it's eroding, and he has to use too much veteran guile to get through an inning. He's having a hard time, not giving up runs the last 7 times out, still giving up base runners. If anything, optimist side, 7th or 8th inning, he becomes one of those guys. So they're going to have to find somebody. Is it Kyle Finnegan? I think a team, also the Houston Astros, is a team to monitor. Would they take on Josh Hader's deal? Now, here's the difference between Hader and Finnegan. Is Jed Hoyer, throughout the inception of him and Theo into this franchise, name me how many closers they gave multiple year deals to. To my account, the answer is only one. They gave Brandon Morrow a 2-year deal. And that didn't work out because he got hurt halfway through the first year, didn't pitch in the second year, never came back. But look at all the closers that they've had. Hector Rondon was already in the system. Wade Davis that they traded for, 1-year deal. Aroldis Chapman, when they traded for him, only 3 months. They've been piecemealing it ever since. They were hoping Porter Hodge was going to be the guy. Again, oblique issue. Maybe he can come back and play a role, but honestly, at this point, with an oblique issue, I don't think you see him until late July, and he'll have to work his way back into the mix. He's probably in that 7th, 8th inning conversation. So you still need that 9th inning guy. Hader has a bunch of years left and a bunch of money. That's not the Jed way. The Jed way is going out and getting a guy like Kyle Finnegan. That's probably the move that you'd like to see with the Chicago Cubs. And honestly, they can make that move tomorrow as long as he's healthy and the Cubs could possibly get better. The final either or, and I can go, again, I can go either way on this. The final either or for the Chicago Cubs right now on Sports Talk Chicago with Joey Christopoulos right here on WLS AM 890 is door number one, door number two. What would you rather have the rest of the season? Would you rather have what Dansby Swanson has done over the last month, which is basically take his batting average from 190 up to 260. He's in double-digit home runs. He's slugging just under 500. Would you rather take that, or would you rather take the production that Ian Happ is putting out right now that, frankly, since he's come back from his oblique injury, noticing a theme here, since he's come back from his oblique injury, yes, he's gotten some hits, he's done all right, but he's not really hitting the ball with authority, and he just doesn't look like the Ian Happ that we've come to expect over the last several years. So if I said to you, you could have Dansby Swanson just the way he is right now, the rest of the way, but you're going to have a lesser than Ian Happ, would you take that? Or would you take Ian Happ being Ian Happ, which means hitting 260, popping 20 to 25 home runs, and as of late, the last couple seasons, driving in 80 to 90 runs a year? Would you rather have that and then maybe have Dansby be the 240 hitter that he's been pretty much the entire time he's been in a Chicago Cubs uniform? That one I can answer for you. I'm happy that Dansby's hot. I'm happy that he's healthy. He's playing great baseball right now. But if you can give me the Ian Happ of old, I would take a step back from Dansby Swanson if I can get the old Ian Happ. The current Dansby Swanson and the current Ian Happ, I don't think is ideal for the optimal level that the Chicago Cubs could possibly reach in terms of success this season. Now, of course, these are either ors, right? I want it both. That would be great. But these are just some either ors that I'm thinking about right now, because this Chicago Cubs team is rolling right now. Again, favorable schedule. But again, do not complain about a favorable schedule. There have been plenty of talented Cubs teams in the past that have fumbled these types of schedules, where the bad teams have played them tough, where they've dropped a game that they shouldn't have dropped. You know, you're supposed to sweep the Rockies, you sweep the Rockies. I don't care what the final score is. Just put a W on the board. You're supposed to sweep the Chicago White Sox, you do that. You go 4-2 on a road trip. That's what needs to be done against the Marlins and the Reds. Chicago Cubs are taking care of business right now. The only thing to keep in mind on is that this offense has been so fantastic. They're averaging 6 runs a game, which for reference in baseball history, the last offense to average 6 runs a game was the 2007 Yankees. And that was the peak of the A-Rod years in New York. So that's a long time. They might not keep up this pace, but we keep saying that. I feel like I've done that on about 3 shows now. And this Cubs team continues to score runs. They continue to score runs in the 5th, 6th, 7th inning. There's been multiple times where it's been 1-1, 2-1 in these games. And then the Cubs just break out. What a great quality to have for a team. What a great quality to have confidence-wise for a team. The Chicago Cubs team, I'm not breaking news here. They're really, really good. They're going to have some decisions to make, and they're going to have to hope that some of these trends continue and stabilize the production from the catching position. PCA is an MVP. Dansby Swanson, the way he's playing right now, maybe you can turn around Ian Happ a little bit. And oh, yeah, right, the stalwarts in the lineup. Seiya Suzuki leading the major leagues in RBIs. And Kyle Tucker, just ho-hum. Just being a top 5 hitter in Major League Baseball, nothing flashy, nothing amazing, just getting it done and galvanizing this offense. It's fun times right now, and we're going to have so much fun not only just watching this team, hopefully continuing to watch them win, hopefully continue to watch them get a little bit healthy in certain areas, and then, oh yeah, in about 6 weeks' time, we also get to watch them go out there and hopefully acquire either an elite starter or an elite closer. Something that could possibly put them in a position to get them over the top and truly compete with those Los Angeles Dodgers, with those Philadelphia Phillies, the New York Mets, in this crowded, incredibly talented, deep National League. We got to take a break here on Sports Talk Chicago with Joey Christopoulos. On the other side of the break, I am going to reveal my 21st century all-time teams for the Chicago White Sox and the Chicago Cubs. My quarter century list coming up next right here on WLS AM 890.
Injured in an accident? That's no game. But you can bet those insurance companies are going to play dirty to keep that cash from you. What you need is a most valuable player on your team. MVP Injury Law has been bringing home the gold for their clients for over 30 years. No win, no fee. MVPinjurylaw.com. We'll get you the gold.
312-883-9500 MVP.
MVPinjurylaw.com. We'll get you the gold.